Who's up? Good morning, everybody. So glad to be able to be with you this morning. I know this is a little bit different than what we're used to, but thank the Lord for the way that we can record these and put these on the web. And I trust this morning that as we gather around our computers or our phones or our tablets, that we're just waiting on the Lord and His Word to do great things in our life. These are difficult days. These are days that none of us expected, but we have to remember in all of this, God is faithful. So let's go to Him in prayer just before we have our message. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this time that we can be together in Your Word. And I pray now, Father, that our hearts and lives and minds would be quieted. And Father, we would pay attention to Thy Word and we would let it do its work in our life. Lord, be with me. Help me to be a vessel in Your hands. And Lord, may all of us find application to our lives. May all of us be changed more into Thy image. And Lord, may You be glorified in our lives, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So today will be the last message in our series called The Struggle for a Pure Church. And the title of the message today is The Characteristics of a Pure Church. And I'd like to read a couple of verses from Ephesians 5. Kind of as a launching point as we think of the characteristics of a pure church. And in Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 25 through 27, we read this: "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any other thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." I trust that it's all of our desire to do everything that we can to make sure our ministry here in our beloved Hill Village Bible Church, to make sure everything we do allows us to have a pure ministry here. We want to make sure that our church is pure. And as we have been studying in Revelation 2 and 3, the Lord had much to say to the seven churches which He walked amongst. He condemned certain of their actions, but He also commended them as well. And we must remember that the Lord Jesus also walks amongst us. And as He does, what does He see? What does the Lord see as He walks amongst us? If Christ is our groom and we are His bride, it should also be our desire to love what He loves and to do things that please Him. Think about your own married life and think about your relationship with your spouse and wanting to please him or her. And that should be our desire as the bride of Christ. The purity of our church should be an urgent matter for us. Last week, we saw the characteristics of an impure church based on all the negative or condemning statements the Lord made to the seven churches. But today, I would like us to see the characteristics of a pure church based on the positive or the commendations the Lord made concerning the seven churches. What makes a pure church? As we read here in Ephesians, how can we be sanctified and cleansed? How can we be glorious and without spot or wrinkle? How can we be holy and without blemish? To help answer these questions, we'll look at what the Lord commended the seven churches for, and what we're going to do is to divide them into two categories. The first category being sound doctrine, or what we believe, and the second being a biblically based ministry, or how we carry out those beliefs. How we act is based on what we believe, and how we minister as a church is based on what we believe as a church. And I believe if we look through Revelation 2 and 3, as we have been preaching through it for the last 9 weeks now, we see here in the things that the Lord commends the church for, they're in those two categories. And in all seven of the churches, they're in those two categories. Sound doctrine and biblically based ministries. So let's look at that first point today. Point number one, a pure church will have sound doctrine. And if you would turn with me in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 2 through 4. Of course, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, these are what we call pastoral epistles, written to pastors and written to pastors about the ministry, not only of the pastor, but of the church. And one of the things that Paul tells us here about a pure church will have sound doctrine. Notice 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 with me. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So here Paul puts it in the negative. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And we see so much of this today going on around us. We see people who have turned their ears from the truth, and this takes then, because people turn their ears away from the truth and they begin to believe lies and fables, then that changes the practice of their church. But look at Titus. Just turn one book to the right, Titus chapter 2. What we saw in 2 Timothy 4 was in the negative, but here it is stated in the positive. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou those things which become sound doctrine. So the preaching and teaching ministry of a church that is to be pure must have sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is of vital importance to the purity of the local church. What we believe matters to the Lord. Now, we can illustrate this by our own doctrinal statement here at our church. And our church has a very strong doctrinal statement, and I trust all of you have read it. I know that if you are becoming a member here, seeking to become a member, one of the first things we do is we give you our doctrinal statement. And our doctrinal statement spells out all of our beliefs, and all of those beliefs are based on Bible truth, okay? And so we must have sound doctrine. A pure church will have sound doctrine. And when we go back and we look at, and we're not going to look at the individual churches because we've been all through them, but when we look at the sound doctrine that the Lord commended these seven churches for, we get these categories. First one, the churches were commended for testing or trying the spirits. Testing or trying the spirits. You know, in today's world, well, in any time in church history, we need to have spiritual discernment. We need to be able to know the truth. And one of the ways, to expose error is to know the truth. If you don't know the truth, you won't know what's false. So the Lord commended the churches for their testing or trying the spirits. We're told in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John tells the church, he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, test the spirits. Do they stand up to Bible doctrine? When certain groups knock on your door and they want to tell you about the watchtower or the kingdom hall, or they want to tell you about the Church of the Latter-day Saints, be sure that we test and try these spirits and test them with the Word of God. And a pure church will have sound doctrine because they test or try the spirits." Another thing under the heading of doctrine that the Lord commended the church was holding fast to my name. That meant they clung to Christ. They held onto him no matter what trial they were going through. We heard Pastor Andrew this morning in his adult Sunday school class preach about the trying of our faith. And the trying of our faith is meant to help us to mature and grow in the Lord. And also, these folks here, they held fast to Christ's name. No matter what the trial was, they held fast to Christ's name. They didn't deny him. One of the things, as we studied through the book of Revelation, and we saw chapter 2 and 3, and we saw many of the trials the churches went through, and the tribulation that they went through, and at times, when they were suffering severe persecution, one of the things that they would be asked to do was deny the name of the Lord and profess the name of the Caesar. But these folks, they held fast to his name. And this reminds me, when you hold fast to somebody's name, it's that you know him. And I'm reminded of what Paul says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. Is it your desire to know Christ and to know him and for that knowledge of him to grow more and more as time goes by? Holding fast to my name, to know who Christ is. And friends, in this world today, we need to know who Christ is. And how do we know this? Through solid Bible teaching, through sound doctrine. We know here of his deity. We know the fact that the Lord Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He is God the Son. We know that when he came to earth, it was not his beginning. It was when he put on flesh, yes, but he is deity. He is God. We also know about his humanity. The Lord Jesus is not only perfectly and 100% God, but he's perfectly and 100% man. God became a man. And forever, he is that theanthropic person, the God-man. We know about his virgin birth. Because if he were not born of a virgin, he would be born with that sin nature. And he was born of the Virgin Mary. And he came into the world through the Holy Spirit. We know that he lived a sinless life. We study through the Gospels. We study through the epistles. We find that his life was sinless. In him there was no sin. Friends, we also learn if we want to know about Christ, we learn of his substitutionary death. He died for me, for you, as our substitute. We know that his death was also propitiatory in the sense that he died to appease the wrath of God. The sin that I had committed, that we had committed, brought upon us the wrath of God. And as Jesus died on the cross in our place, the wrath of God was appeased. We know about his resurrection. For after the Lord Jesus died on the cross and they placed him in the tomb, he rose again. And I've said this many times and I'll say it many more. There is no hope in a dead Savior. But we serve a living Savior. He's very much alive, and he was seen by over 500 eyewitnesses. We also learn in the book of Acts of his ascension, his glorious ascension, going back into heaven some 40 days after his resurrection. And since he is ascended in heaven and he sits today at the right hand of God, and his ministry today is as our high priest, where he intercedes for us every day. And friends, I believe also we learn about his soon coming. And I think with everything that's going on in our world today, and I think if we look around, we really should be preparing ourselves, because I believe he's coming soon. And these are things we learn through sound doctrine, through sound preaching and teaching. Another thing that we learn from the seven churches, another thing that the Lord commended them for under the heading of their sound doctrine, what they believed, was they're holding fast to the faith. They're holding fast to the faith. Not only did they hold to his name, but they held fast to the faith. And again, the clinging to the faith, no matter the trial. Again, and I'll make reference, and I hope you listened to Pastor Andrew's Sunday school class about the trials of our faith. And they clung to their faith. Not just the faith that they had that they exercised when they were saved, but the daily faith we need to live the Christian life. The faith that we learn can grow. And Hebrews 11:6, we learn about faith, where it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So what pleases God is our faith. So can I say that when we cling to that faith, it pleases God? And when that faith grows, it pleases God. And a pure church will hold fast to the faith. And one last thing that they were commended for was they understood their spiritual riches. They understood their spiritual riches. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, according to the riches of his grace. Do you realize how much we have? Now, these churches, many times Christ said to them, he mentioned to them of their poverty. But that poverty was in the physical sense, but it was never in the spiritual sense. You and I as believers have the riches of his grace at our expense. You and I have, as believers, have the riches of the kingdom. We are joint heirs with Christ. So these are things that Christ commended the church for. And if we are to be a pure church, right doctrine or right belief is the foundation any ministry must be built upon. I believe that the pulpit is the most important part of the church. And the pulpit should be central to the church, because that is where the Word of God is preached. That is where the Word of God is taught. And our ministry must be built upon the Word of God, sound doctrine, not personality, not programs, but the Word of God. Our ministry will not be acceptable if it is not based upon sound doctrine. What we preach, what we teach and believe is of vital importance for the purity of our church. Sound doctrine is a characteristic of a pure church. But this leads to the second point, the second category, if you will, the second area in which the Lord commended these churches. A pure church will have a biblically based ministry. So he commended them for their doctrinal beliefs, but he also commended them for their ministry practices. And the reason they had correct ministry practices was because they had a foundation of proper Bible teaching. So a pure church will have a biblically based ministry. We must remember that our ministry must be Bible based. 2 Timothy, please, chapter 2 and verse 15. Familiar passage. 2 Timothy 2:15, we must remember that our ministry must be Bible based. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we have to study so that we can be approved, because we want to be a workman. We want to minister for the Lord. And proper ministry is based on a proper biblical foundation. So we must remember that our ministry must be Bible-based. Biblically, in those letters to the seven churches, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we see that the Lord commended them for their biblically-based ministry. And the first thing, and these two words were mentioned multiple times in the letters to the seven churches, works and labor. I know thy works and labor. Okay? And again, this was mentioned multiple times. You know, there is work to be done here in the church. There is ministry to be done. It's not only sitting under sound teaching, which is important, but then there is putting feet and arms to that sound teaching and going out and doing it. There is work to be done. And I love the promise of 1 Corinthians 15:58. At the end of the verse, it says, "For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We labor for the Lord. We work for the Lord. We minister for the Lord. And that is part of what a church does. But friends, again, I go back to the first point. If we do not have a strong and sound doctrine coming from this pulpit, our ministry will not be acceptable. So we must build that our ministry on a biblical base. Another thing that the Lord commended the church for, and we see these words used over and over again to the seven churches, patience and endurance. Exactly, again, what Pastor Andrew mentioned this morning in his Sunday school class. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about patience and endurance. And I think it says a lot, because we don't always tend to be too patient. I know I don't. At times I can be very impatient. And enduring, you know, that carries the idea, as was mentioned this morning, of a marathon. You know, and you know, I don't like to run very far. But you know, this Christian life is a marathon. And it's a day by day and hour by hour. And then it goes on day by day and week and month and until the Lord calls us home. But friends, we need patience and we need endurance. We need both of these as we minister to people. Because, you know, it takes a while. You know, some of the people, when folks get saved, you know, sometimes there's a lot of baggage that needs to be unpacked before you can start filling the luggage up with new things. You know, there's things in people's lives that have to go, and this takes time. We need to be patient. And I think sometimes we harm the new believer when we're impatient and we don't endure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, be patient toward all men. Be patient toward all men. And the Lord is telling us we need to be patient. And one of the things that the Lord commended these churches for was their patience and their endurance. Their work, their labor, their patience, their endurance. And a third thing we see is their charity. And we know the English word charity, the Greek word behind that is the Greek word agape, agape love, the self-sacrificing love, the biblical type love, the Christian love, the love that God loved the world for. And the reason we can have this charity is we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. So we have to have love toward the brethren, and we have to have love toward the lost. And we have to have a desire to love the brethren. And we should love the brethren. And we should desire to see them grow and to mature in the Lord and to help them because we love them. And we should also be a ministry that is known for its charity, for its love for the lost as well. Because we know how much God loved us when we were in our lost state. And we want to show that love to them. And 1 John chapter 4, 11, John tells us, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So a pure church, one of the characteristics of a pure church will be its charity, its love. But another is its service. And this idea of service here that he mentioned to the churches that they were commended for. This idea of service isn't necessarily works and labor, but it's ministering to one another. The idea is attendance, not attendance as in showing up, but attending to the needs of people. We're to minister to people. We're to help them. Help meet their needs, their spiritual needs, their emotional needs, their mental needs, their physical needs. We're to meet those needs. And friends, a lot of times, you know, we forget in our ministry to people, we forget about people and we think about the program. And we run the program. And the program's got to run, and we put so much effort into the program. And I'm not against programs, but we forget about people. And we're to minister to people, because the ministry is all about people. And Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 20, verse 26, he said, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. So are we willing to minister, to service the people? Now, back in the, many of you know that before I was in the ministry, I was in the auto mechanic business. I owned a gas station. Well, in days gone by, even before I owned a gas station, what did they used to call them? Service stations, right? And people would come in and you would service their car. The man would come out quite often in a white jumpsuit, and sometimes they had bow ties and a hat on. They're all clean, and not, you're filling up your gas, which at that time was about 10 cents a gallon. And as they're filling up your gas, they're checking the air in your tires. They're checking your oil. They're washing your windows. They're servicing your car. You know, and we have to understand as a church, we're here to serve the people, to minister to the people. A pure church has a heart of service. Do we have that heart? Another thing one of the churches was commended for is being mission-minded. The Church of Philadelphia, for the Lord giving them an open door, an open door. You know, so often churches are so internal. And it is important to be internal. We have to have sound doctrine. But our church and our ministry also needs to be what? External. You know, when we leave these doors, okay, and we go out into the community. I know right now, in this time in which we are living right now with the coronavirus, you know, meeting with people is challenging, okay? We're supposed to keep our distance, you know, 6 feet. Maybe we ought to get those grabber things and put tracks on them and hand them to people that way, you know, so we don't get so close to them. What's it called? Social distancing. Well, you know, we can still in this world and in this time, we still could be mission-minded. You know, we can reach out to people. We can reach out to people electronically. We can reach out to people in stores. We can leave track. There still is some contact with people. Don't become so inward focused during this time. We need to, a pure church, a church that brings honor and glory to the Lord, seeks to reach the lost locally all the way to globally. And as I look back on our mission display board, I see missionaries that are stationed around the globe that we help support and we pray for. And they're reaching souls all around the world. But we're reaching souls here in Hill and the surrounding area. We need to be mission-minded, seeking to reach the lost. One of the last things the Lord Jesus said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, before he ascended to heaven, he said, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So we need to be globally minded, locally minded, regionally minded in our mission. And the last thing that the Lord commended the church for in their biblically based ministry is their separation. Okay? This is something that is not preached about a lot today, but separation has to do with our seeking to separate, to be separate and unspotted from the world, without letting the world put its spots on us. Remember the passage we read at the beginning of the service from Ephesians chapter 5, that we would not have any spot or wrinkle. Okay? And we're told in James chapter 1, verse 27, that we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And there's a lengthy passage in 2 Corinthians 6 that talks about separation. And you and I need to be separated, not isolated, but separated. Okay? Separated from the world so that we don't become stained or spotted. Separated from the world, but separated unto God. And these are the characteristics of a pure ministry. A church that works and labors. A church that is patient and endures. A church that is loving, agape love. A church that ministers to people. A church that is mission-minded. A church that is separated. So in order for us to have a biblically based ministry, we must teach and preach sound doctrine. What we believe is directly connected to how we minister. And if we go out and see some of the churches where their ministry has broken down and their ministry has become unbiblical, we can trace that back to unsound teaching, unsound preaching. So how do we apply all this today, friends? How do we apply not only this message, but how do we wrap this series up? Because this is the last message on this series before we move on into our next series on the church and the study of the church, what the church is. How do we apply this? As we conclude our series on the struggle for a pure church, it should be our goal and desire to have our beloved Hill Village Bible Church be as pure as she can be. We know this is of vital importance to our Lord, so it should be to us as well. So how do we go about doing this? We need to remember the things that the seven churches were condemned for, and what's the very first thing? For leaving their first love. That's where it all starts. We need to remember that the Lord condemned the churches for leaving their first love, for holding false doctrine, for elevating the clergy over the laity, for allowing women in leadership, for being a dead ministry where no one is getting saved and no one is growing. And then ultimately that leads to being lukewarm, where we saw that the Lord spews them out of his mouth. We should seek with all our power to rid our ministry of these things. But we must also remember the things the Lord commended the seven churches for. And again, as we just saw, these are under two headings, being a church that is sound in doctrine, and under that, we're sound in doctrine by testing and trying the spirits. We're sound in doctrine by holding fast to Christ's name. We're sound in doctrine by holding fast to the faith. And we're sound in doctrine by understanding our spiritual riches. But also, the second part is being a church with a biblically based ministry. A church that works and labors in the Lord's vineyard. A church that has patience and endurance with people. A church that is a loving church. A church that is a ministering church. A church that is mission-minded. And a church that understands separation so that it can maintain its purity. Friends, what we teach and preach matters. It must be biblical. What we believe matters. It must be biblical. Why? Because what we teach and preach directly affects what we believe. And what we believe directly affects how we minister. Our ministry must be Bible-based. So why I want to end this series where I began this series. Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13. And in Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, we read this. And I, being John, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So again, let us end where we began, in Revelation 1, 12 and 13, where we see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the midst of the seven churches. And the churches, as we learned, were represented by the seven golden candlesticks. And what did the candlesticks do? They illuminated the Lord Jesus. As a church, we have the responsibility to shine our light on the Lord Jesus so all the world can see him. By remaining a pure church, our light will shine brightly so all the world can see our beloved bridegroom in all of his glory. Friends, we must heed the warning to never forget our first love, or we will lose our candlestick and no one will be able to see the Lord Jesus from Hill Village Bible Church. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Friends, we don't want to lose our candlestick. We want our candlestick to be there, shining brightly, so that we can illuminate the Lord Jesus who is in our midst for all of the world to see. Because we don't want to get to the point by losing our first love, that's where it starts, to getting to Revelation chapter 3, where we're lukewarm, and look at verse 20, where is the Lord? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The Lord's on the outside of that church. And we don't want the Lord on the outside. We want him on the midst, in the midst. So I close this series, not only this message, but this series, reminding us never to forget our first love. Never to forget the Lord Jesus who loved us so much, he died for us in our place, taking our punishment. And may we always remember that, and may we always have a desire to be a pure church so that our light shines brightly. So we here can show the world the Lord Jesus, not us, but the Lord Jesus. And I'll close with the words of the Lord, Revelation 3:22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for these passages of Scripture in Revelation 2 and 3 and so many of the other Scriptures that we looked up. And Lord, we desire... Our desire is to be a pure church. Help us to be a pure church. Father, we know that that starts by having sound doctrine taught and preached. Help us, Lord, to continue to preach sound doctrine. But Lord, we know that that also means, Father, that we have to have a biblically based ministry. So may we build our ministry on the solid foundation of the Bible teaching. And thank you for the 76, 77 years that this church has been in existence. And thank you for the faithful folks who have preached and who have ministered here. And help us to continue to be faithful. Help us to desire to be pure. Help us, Lord, to allow our light to shine so bright that people only see you. Oh Lord, help us to never forget our first love, and give us ears to hear what you're saying to us for your honor, for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.